Have you had patients receive adjuvant cetuximab in one of these trials?
Yes.
How do they tolerate the rash in the adjuvant setting?
You have to explain the rash for using a drug that induces something that clearly interferes with the patient's quality of life, because that's what it does. But patients are willing to tolerate side effects when you tell them that this might increase their chance of being cured. This is something we have to just accept. We have to learn that patients are willing to go through side effects and potentially more toxic regimens if they see any chance of improving their outcome in terms of life. Just saw data from your survey that patients are willing to go through 6 months of FOLFOX-based therapy for just potential 1% gain in overall survival, which I think is an amazing revelation that we have to take into account when we plan our trials and when we plan our offers to in the adjuvant setting. When I talk to patients about participation in the clinical trial, plus minus cetuximab, and we talk about the rash, and I tell them for all purpose in the palliative setting, the incidence and severity of rash is actually associated with better outcome. Patients look at the rash they experience in the adjuvant setting with a very different eye, so they actually welcome the rash.
How about bevacizumab? How do you find patients accepting that in the adjuvant setting, particularly that second 6 months when they're on bevacizumab alone?
Since we're only enrolling patients in a 147 trial, I don't have any experience with bevacizumab in the adjuvant setting. From what I can extrapolate from the palliative setting, most patients cannot distinguish between bevacizumab or placebo because the side effects they experience are not noticeable to them unless they are severe in terms of ATEs or GI perforation, but patients don't necessarily feel hypertension creeping up, etc.
How do you think the safety profile of bevacizumab is going to play out in the adjuvant setting, assuming, let's say, there's some benefit?
That's an excellent question because we just don't know what bevacizumab will do long term, because we're talking about treating a population in the adjuvant setting, stage 2, stage 3, where about 75% of patients would be cured even without bevacizumab. So we're talking about a very different scenario than what we're looking at in a palliative setting, where we're meeting overall survivors in the range of 2 to 3 years nowadays. So long-term effects of 1 year of bevacizumab, 1 year of complete VEGF blockage, what that might do later on, 20 years down the road, for cardiovascular diseases, neurologic problems, Alzheimer's, I don't know. We don't know yet. So this is something that really requires long-term follow-up, and this is one of the reasons why I don't feel comfortable using bevacizumab outside of a clinical trial in the adjuvant setting right now. It's justified in a clinical trial where we try to gather information where patients clearly consent to the high risk they might experience and the uncertainty of all these issues, but I don't feel comfortable using bevacizumab outside of a clinical trial.